Ooh, amen. Knew I was coming to church. I didn't know if I was coming to like church though, you know? That is so good. Man, Alex and the team, thank you so much for leading us. I just love that story of, we could thank the team. Love that story of what started all those years ago back in Azusa. And I'm like moved upon by the Holy Spirit right now. Because I just have faith, Fusion. I just believe that way back when on Azusa Street, people sought the Holy Spirit, and he responded, and he moved. And he's willing to do that today for us. And so I have faith. I'm believing that God wants to continue to move. I think he wants to pour out his Spirit on Fusion and on Christian Assembly in a new way in this season. And so I hope you have faith. I hope you're expecting and believing that's available to you in your life, to us in our community, but to you in your life. This is available to us. And so I'm just so excited, man. I'm just so ready to continue to, in this series, to talk about the Holy Spirit, and so excited for these nights coming up this week as we pray together, as we ask God, would you pour out your Spirit upon us in a new way? I'm preaching. I got to get to my notes. I got other stuff I have to say tonight. Let's get to it. Grab your bulletins, which hopefully you got on the way in. And there you'll find some notes to fill in, some scripture that we're going to read tonight. To be totally honest, we're going to read more scripture than what's in your bulletin tonight. There's going to be a lot of scripture that's going to get put up on the screen tonight because we have, is it okay to read the Bible tonight? Can we read the Bible for a few minutes? We're going to read some Bible tonight, and to be honest, it wouldn't all fit in the bulletin, and I didn't want to intimidate anybody. You know when you open this thing and it's like chock full of scripture, you're like, wow, we're going to do a lot, so I didn't want to scare you guys, so I'm just going to sneak it in on the screens instead. So, hey, have any of you received a gift card lately? Anybody received a gift card in this last season, Christmas, birthday, a gift card of some kind? Do you guys like receiving gift cards? Yeah, I love receiving gift cards. I love them because it helps you avoid that awkward thing when somebody gives you a gift and you know you're just going to have to return this thing right away, right? And you're like, oh, wow, like, that's a sharp sweater, you know? Like, what is that, puff paint? Like, all right, like, thanks so much. I love gift cards. Some of you are like, are you going to give us a gift card tonight? Funny you should ask. No, I don't have a gift card for you. I'm so sorry. I would love a gift card. gift cards are great. But there was an interesting study done that found that between the years 2006 and 2011, that Americans had an average of $8 billion in unused gift cards just sitting around. $8 billion of unused gift cards. A more recent study has shown that we've improved in this slightly. We now have only $1 billion of unused gift cards lying around. Now, why? Why would we allow $1 billion of gift cards to just go unused? I mean, if that was cash, that wouldn't go unused, would it? Like, how much longer will you carry a gift card in your wallet than you'll carry cash, right? Why? Why would gift cards go unused? Well, I think there's various reasons for gift cards to go unused. I think gift cards, they have a specific purpose that sometimes we don't pursue, right? Because a gift card can be used usually in one place. And if you don't go to that place, you're not going to actually use this gift that you received. I think that sometimes we forget they're even there. Have you ever gone and paid cash for something and then later remembered you have a gift card to that place? How many cups of coffee have I bought with the Starbucks gift card? Like, home, like, oh, I totally forgot about that. Or we misplaced them. It's like, oh, man, I'm going shopping. I'm going to Nordstrom. Where did I put that Nordstrom gift card? By the way, Nordstrom gift cards are my favorite. I'm just speaking that in faith right now to a community, okay? Like, where did I misplaced that. Well, tonight, as we continue in our series talking about the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about a spiritual gift that I think is oftentimes forgotten, or sometimes it's just avoided, or this gift can be completely unused. And we're going to talk tonight about the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Now, here's my hope to you. I hope that you would trust us here, you would trust me, you would trust us at Fusion. Things are not going to get weird tonight. Some of you heard speaking in tongues and you're already having images and like, oh man, things are going to get crazy tonight at Fusion. Well,
The Spirit may move. It might. But I just believe that things are not going to get weird. I think we're going to have a great, grace-filled, Spirit-led conversation about the gift of speaking in tongues. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, we thank you so much for tonight. God, I thank you for the way your Spirit is already moving in this place. God, I pray you would pour out your Spirit upon us in a fresh way, even now, tonight, Jesus. Would you just pour your Spirit out upon us? God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it is alive and that it is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So would you change us tonight? God, I pray that you would release any spiritual gift that you have for us tonight. God, if somebody wants the gift of speaking in tongues tonight, I pray that you would release that gift in us tonight. We love you, Jesus. Be with us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the first time in Scripture that we see people speaking in tongues is in the book of Acts. Acts is how the story continues after the four Gospels, the life of Jesus. We then pick up the book of Acts of what happens after Jesus. And so in this story, where we're beginning tonight, Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen from the grave. He is just literally moments away from ascending back into heaven, ascending back to the Father. But before he goes back to heaven, Jesus gives his followers a command. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 1. Jesus says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the disciples, they are so eager and excited and ready to start this mission, start this journey, to do what Jesus commanded us to do, to go to all nations, to make disciples of all people. But they obey Jesus and they wait in Jerusalem. And just a few days later, we read this in Acts chapter 2. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We all hear these people speaking in our own languages." Look at this, about the wonderful things God has done. "They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other." A couple quick things that I just want to note from this. First of all, we can't miss the imagery that happens here on Pentecost. Throughout the entire Bible, if you read the entire narrative, there are several parts of Scripture where we read about wind and fire being present in a place. And in all of those experiences, wind and fire always represent a place where heaven has touched earth. You read in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, wind and fire falling, and you know heaven has touched earth. The prophets, that they would write and they would see these visions of heaven touching earth, and they knew it was happening because of wind and fire. And here in this moment, we see this story where heaven now touches earth on these disciples, on these followers of Jesus. And the list of places given is important. We need to know that they're there on purpose. Luke, the author of Acts, he puts them in here on purpose. Too often when reading the Bible, we come to long lists of names or places that we can't pronounce. So we're like, well, that has no meaning to me, so we just skip over it. But we need to know, Luke put this in here on purpose. Because all of these places listed here, if you look at them on a map at that time, they represent the known world at that time. And Luke wanted us to know that everybody from everywhere was present in this place when the Holy Spirit fell. And we need to know that if you call in the name of Jesus, no matter where you're from, no matter your ethnicity, no matter what your background is, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is available for you as well. Every nation, every ethnicity, everyone now gets to be a part of this thing. Everybody gets to experience heaven touching earth in your life now. And when the Holy Spirit falls on these guys, they speak in tongues that they did not previously know. I want us to know right off the bat that speaking in tongues is something that God has given his Spirit-empowered followers the ability to do. This is God's idea. God was not caught off guard when these guys started speaking in tongues. He was not in heaven like, what in the name of me are they doing? Like, Holy Spirit, I said no weird stuff, and look what you made them do. I can't even understand what they're saying. No, no, no. God did this. This is something that God gave them. This is God's idea. This is God's power, and this is God's gift to his followers. Three things I want us to know about speaking in tongues tonight. Number one, you can write this down in your bulletin. Speaking in tongues is often a mark of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is often a mark of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you read the story of Acts, which is really, I think, more accurately called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's all what the Holy Spirit is doing, what you often find is that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. It happens regularly. We already read Acts 2, the first time that it happens. But in Acts 10, we read about a time where Peter shares the gospel with a group of Gentiles and non-Jews. This is incredibly important, this moment right here, because this really communicates that it's not just for those who are Jewish, but now it's for everybody else. We read in Acts 10, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they had heard them, what? Speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is crazy. These guys had not yet even been baptized in the name of Jesus, and yet the Holy Spirit falls on them, and what do? They speak in tongues. Later on in Acts 19, Paul would go to a city called Ephesus. It says that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked them. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. I just love this because these guys, they didn't take a class on the Holy Spirit. There was no education that took place. They believed in Jesus, somebody prayed for them, laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit fell. And they spoke in tongues. So look, oftentimes when the Holy Spirit falls on people, speaking in tongues shows up as an evidence of what has taken place. In the book of Acts, it is a normal thing to see. It is normal thing. It's a normal thing for people to experience. But number two, write this down. Speaking in tongues is not the only mark of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not the only mark. There are times when people encounter the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is not mentioned. Does it often happen? Yes. Does it always happen? No. And this is important for us to remember. Because sometimes, in some circles, speaking in tongues gets elevated to a place of prominence that we don't actually see in the Bible. For some, speaking in tongues has become the most important thing, the symbol of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you must have not been really baptized in the Holy Spirit. But look, even Peter, who prayed for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, who saw people speak in tongues, Peter quoted the prophet Joel from the Old Testament. And look at the list of signs of the Holy Spirit Peter gives us in Acts 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Prophecy, which we're going to give prophecy its entire week, its own week here in just a few weeks in this series. Prophecy, visions, dreams, they're all listed as signs that God's Spirit has been poured out on people. Paul would go on to give us multiple more lists of when the Spirit would be poured out on people. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's how you'll know. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence. In Galatians 5, some of those beautiful words written in the entire Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit in your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul would write this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Look, Paul gives lots of ways to see that someone has God's Spirit in them. Is speaking in tongues often present? Yes. Is it always present? No. Are there lots of ways to tell if God's Spirit is on somebody? Yes. What's important is this. God promises that he will pour out his Spirit on all who ask him for it. And when the Spirit is poured out on somebody, you will be able to tell a difference. A change will take place in them. It makes me think about how you can tell who's a parent even when they're not with their children. For example, before I had kids, when I used to get on airplanes, I have to confess, I was one of those guys who hoped a parent with a little baby wouldn't sit next to me on a plane, okay? Some of you are like, Bo, that's sin. Like, I love when babies sit next to me. That's good for you. I did not like it. If I had an empty seat and I saw the parent walking down the aisle, I'd be like, please don't sit by me. Please don't sit by me. Please don't sit by me. Some of you are agreeing with me right now. I'm going to pray for your deliverance later, too. Because I didn't love the idea of sitting next to a baby that might be crying for the next 5 hours, right? But now that I'm a dad, now that I'm a parent, something has changed in me. And even when I'm not with my kids, I love sitting next to parents on planes with their kids, especially new parents. And you can always tell the new parents because they, you know, mom's carrying the baby. They got the bags under their eyes that show they got to the airport like 3 hours too early. And dad's got all 14 of the bags with them and the carrier and the stroller and all that stuff. He's got a sheen of sweat on his forehead. And I just love sitting next to them because I always look at new parents next to me and I just say, your baby can cry and that's not going to bother me. It's okay. I didn't used to be that way, but a change has taken place in me, and now I am different. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. Sometimes speaking in tongues is part of that change, but it is not always the case. And yet still, if we're honest with the Bible, honest with what we read, we have to recognize that speaking in tongues is a gift to followers of Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit that is available to us. And number three, you have to receive and exercise the gift of tongues by faith. You have to receive and exercise the gift of tongues by faith. I think there are certain spiritual gifts that we tend to set these unhelpful expectations for that I don't think are necessary, and they're not applied to other gifts. Specifically, I think that tongues, healing, and prophecy seem to get a different treatment than other spiritual gifts. You see, we tend to think that if I had the gift of speaking in tongues, then I would just speak in tongues. It would just happen uncontrollably for me. It would take no effort. I would not be in control of it. I would just speak in tongues all the time. But we don't treat any other spiritual gift like that, do we? Like if you have the spiritual gift of generosity, are you just like, I have the gift of generosity. Oh, no, here's my wallet. Take all my money. Hey, I'm going to give everything all of a sudden. I have the gift of leadership. And everybody stand up now and follow me because I know where we're going and you've all got to follow me now. I can't even control this thing. I have the spiritual gift of service. And everybody stand up because I'm going to stack all of these chairs right now. So get out of them. Because I can't even stop this thing from happening. No. Don't we know that when it comes to those other spiritual gifts, we choose whether or not we exercise them, don't we? They don't just all of a sudden come upon us and we can't control ourselves and we can't even stop this thing. And yet we tend to think that about speaking in tongues. Like, if I get the gift of speaking in tongues, it's just going to happen all of a sudden for me. I won't have any control over it. It might happen in an awkward moment. It might happen in public. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? I won't have to use my faith, and I won't have to choose to exercise it or not. People think that. And I've known people, followers of Jesus, who prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and who specifically desired the gift of tongues. And they prayed for it. And when nothing uncontrollable happened to them, they just decided, I must not have the gift of tongues. When a flood of words didn't suddenly just come flying out of their mouth beyond their control, they just assumed, I must not have that gift. I think many times people, they don't exercise their gift of tongues by faith. And I get it, right? Like, I understand. It can feel a little weird. Like, man, if I go up there and get prayed for by somebody, if I have my friend pray for me, and I ask for the gift of tongues from God, like, what if nothing happens? Or even worse sometimes, what if something does happen? And if something does happen, what if I'm just making it all up? What if it's all in my mind? But look, Paul wants you to know that you have control over the spiritual gifts that you're given. It's up to you to exercise them. In 1 Corinthians 14:32, he writes, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. If you have the gift of prophecy, you don't just have prophetic words come flying out of your mouth all of a sudden. How weird would that be? Any spiritual gift that you receive will require you to receive it and practice it by faith. It won't be beyond your control. The key is to ask and believe that your good Father wants to give you good gifts. Sometimes we have to ask and seek for some time. That's true of tongues, just like any other spiritual gift. I was in the sixth grade at a summer camp when I went forward to be prayed for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I really wanted more of God's Spirit in my life. I also really wanted to see what would happen if I went up there. Because I grew up in a Pentecostal summer camp world. And listen, I am not trying to mock that world. I am so grateful for my experiences of summer camp and in my church I had growing up. I'm so grateful for the ways that I saw the Spirit move in my life and in my friends' lives and the people my age life. I am so grateful for that time. But if I'm totally honest, there were some stuff that happened that to a sixth grader seemed a little weird. I grew up seeing kids during summer camp get slain in the spirit, just bodies all over the room. And I'm like, I'm just trying to go get a Mountain Dew right now. Like, excuse me, let me step over all these kids, right? It's like bodies everywhere. I grew up, I saw kids get slain in the spirit. I saw kids speaking in tongues. I had kids my age, my friends begin to speak words of prophecy. And I wanted those experiences. So I went forward to be prayed for. And I was just waiting for something to happen. I was waiting to just fall over all of a sudden. I was waiting for a prayer language to just come flying out of my mouth. I was waiting for some word of prophecy or knowledge to just get dropped on me that I was going to use to blow everybody's mind in this room. And nothing significant seemed to happen. I was prayed for. I didn't fall over. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't suddenly have some word. I didn't know anybody's secrets all of a sudden. I had a really deep sense of God's love for me. But I went up expecting to become Thor when his eyes glow and he can shoot lightning. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen when I went up there. And that wasn't my experience. And I went back to my seat in that room pretty disappointed. And I'm so grateful that year at camp, my father, my dad, was actually my camp counselor. By the way, this was not planned. My dad just walked in the room. Give for Pastor Robert Flores up there. Church started an hour ago, but that's cool. Glad you're here. No, he just landed on a plane. He just came straight from the airport. But I went and I sat with my dad. I sat with him on a lawn out there at Camp Crestview up in Oregon, overlooking the Columbia River into Washington, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And we sat there and we talked. And I shared with them my frustration, my disappointment, my curiosity, my wondering, why didn't I speak in tongues? Why didn't this happen? And I talked with my dad. He just made it all seem so normal. He demystified it for me, and I'm so glad he did that. And he explained to me that when you have the gift of tongues, it doesn't just come flying out of your mouth uncontrolled, but you practice it, and you choose to exercise it. He also shared with me that sometimes you pray for it, and you don't get that gift right away, like any other gift. But the Bible says to ask and seek and knock. So we keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking. We keep asking Jesus to give us the gift that we're desiring. And he encouraged me to go home and keep praying for it, keep asking for it. So I did. For months and months, I prayed, God, would you give me the gift of speaking in tongues because I desire this good gift that you have for me. For almost a year, I prayed that prayer. Almost a year. Because I believed it was a gift that God wanted to give me that was going to strengthen me and that was going to help me in my walk with him. And nearly a year later, I was at a worship night that my youth group was hosting. And we were just a whole night dedicated to worship. And as I was worshiping God, the best way to describe it is I suddenly ran out of words. It was like I had told God all the things I knew to tell him, but I had more to say. And then I remembered that speaking in tongues was something I was pursuing and praying for and asking God to give me. And so I decided to try it. And I had a phrase, just a couple words come to my mind. I heard the words in my mind before I spoke them. And instantly, the first thing that I thought was, that makes no sense. That sounds like gibberish to me. That makes no sense. But I heard in my spirit in that moment, that makes no sense to you. So I said them out loud. And again, right away, first thing I thought, Bo, you are making that up. But what I knew to be true was that I was worshiping God by speaking these words I did not know. And from that day until now, speaking in tongues has been a regular part of what I do in my relationship with Jesus. I speak in tongues almost every day. every single time that I stand on this stage and preach, you can rest assured I've spent at least 15 to 20 minutes just praying in tongues before I get up here. I do it every Sunday afternoon in my office. I get quiet by myself and I just speak in tongues for 15 to 20 minutes before I ever preach. But while it's been 20 years of practicing this, it still takes faith on my part to do. It still requires faith for me. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:14, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying." It takes faith. But what I also know is that I am strengthened as I do it. You see, here's what I love about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the only spiritual gift listed in all of Scripture that has a personal application, has a personal use. Every other spiritual gift listed in Scripture is all for the purpose and the goal of building up and strengthening the church. But speaking in tongues alone has a personal aspect for us. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. You see, other translations will say, those who speak in tongues, they strengthen their inner man. There's something about speaking in tongues that builds up my faith, that strengthens my faith. It encourages my faith. And let me just say this. You being strengthened personally in your walk with Jesus will strengthen the church. This is not some selfish gift that is not for the building up or edification of the church. I'm just saying that as you pursue speaking in tongues, you will be strengthened and therefore the church will be strengthened as well. Now before we go, before we wrap up tonight, I just want to give two quick practical ways that I believe speaking in tongues helps. How does it strengthen us? How does speaking in tongues help us? First is this, speaking in tongues helps me praise beyond my words. It helps me praise beyond my words. Dr. Jack Hayford, a lifelong pastor, leader, absolute giant of the faith, he once wrote, "At its core, the purpose of tongues is a matter of worship and praise." Remember in Acts 2, as these followers of Jesus are baptized in the Holy Spirit, as they're speaking in tongues, as they're speaking these languages they don't know, the language is recognized by other people, and they recognize what they were saying. And here's what it says. They were declaring the magnificent acts of God. They were praising God as they were speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is what I do when I want to praise God, but my words fail me. When I've run out of words. Or when I want to worship God in a brand new way. You ever have that where you feel like, I've said all of this before. I want to worship God in a new way. I think of the words of Charles Wesley's old hymn. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." Have you ever felt that? I wish I had more words. I wish I could describe this in a new way. I wish I could worship God in a brand new way that I've never done before. It's that feeling of when all of the words that you can offer God, when they still fall short of who He is, of His glory, of His holiness, of His worthiness to be praised. It's in those moments that I begin to worship God by speaking in tongues. And when I do that, I am aware that I am praising Him in a new way. The second thing is this. Speaking in tongues helps me to pray beyond my own words. To pray beyond my own words. Have you ever not known what to pray? I have. When the situation seems too big or too difficult, when the diagnosis is too scary, I just know that I don't have the words for this. So I let God's Spirit pray on my behalf in those moments. Romans 8:26 and 27, Paul writes this. "In the same way, The Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't it a relief to know that God's Spirit will pray on your behalf? That God's Spirit will pray the words that you don't have. Will pray the words you don't know what to pray for that situation that seems too big. Alex, if you join me up here, I'll be closing in a moment. Look, Fusion, I believe, and I speak this in faith, that God wants to give you the gift of speaking in tongues. Because I believe God wants you built up. God wants you strengthened. He wants your faith strengthened. I think of the words of Jude in verses 20 and 21. He says, "But you, dear friends, as you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ in eternal life." God wants you, and he wants your faith built up. And I believe God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit on you. Fusion, I believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. As it says, you can see it in your bulletins in Acts 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Look at verse 39. "This promise is to you and to your children." Hallelujah. "And even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." I want to encourage you to believe that Jesus wants to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. And when that happens, he is going to give you spiritual gifts. And I believe one of those gifts is the gift of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues does not make a person become weird. It does not turn you into a caricature that maybe you've seen on TV or in the movies of a mindless person foaming at the mouth, speaking uncontrollably with their eyes rolled back in their head. That has not been my experience with the Holy Spirit. I think he's more gentle than that. I think he's more loving than that. I think he has something different for you than that. Speaking in tongues is a good gift from a good God who wants to strengthen your faith, who wants to build you up so that you can help build up the church. He wants to build up your walk with him. But I also want to encourage you not to seek a gift over the gift giver. It isn't about what gift you've received, like some badge of honor. Spiritual gifts aren't merit badges for us to demonstrate for other people to see. It's about wanting more of God's Spirit in your life and then being open to everything that he wants to do in you and to you and through you. So if you want to speak in tongues, ask him for it. Ask a mature believer in your life. Ask somebody you know who walked with God, who was empowered by the Holy Spirit, who has the gift of speaking in tongues. Ask them what that's like for them in their life. And then ask them to pray for you. Ask them to lay their hands on you. And ask them that they would pray on your behalf, that God would give you this good gift that I believe he wants to give you. And then exercise your faith as you seek that gift. But remember, more than any gift, we are seeking the Spirit of the gift giver. But as we talk about gifts, we remember that ultimately, more than any spiritual gift that we can receive, the greatest gift that we receive is the ability to be made right with God. You see, that was only accomplished by Jesus' work on the cross. When he died for our sins, when he rose again on the third day, that's when he made a way for us to be made right with God. And that is the greatest gift we will ever receive. The safety and security of knowing that you are right with your God, What a gift that is. And the Bible tells us that the night before he went to the cross, before he accomplished that gift for us, he had a meal with some of his friends. And he said, listen, I'm about to go and do something, but I want to give you a picture so you remember, right? We take pictures of things so we remember them, right? We take pictures of a great party we were at, of a beautiful sunset we want to remember. We take pictures of a meal we want to show everybody for some weird reason. And so Jesus says, I want to give you a picture of a gift that I'm about to give you because I want you to remember it. So the Bible says that he took some bread and he broke it. And he said, this bread, it's a picture of what I'm about to do for you. This bread is a picture of my body that is about to be broken on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, as often as you get around other believers, I want you to break bread, look at this picture, and remember what I did for you on the cross. And then the Bible says that he took a cup, and in it, there was some wine. We use grape juice here, but it's fine, still works. And he said, this cup, this is a picture of the new covenant, of the new deal, the new arrangement that I'm going to accomplish. He says, when you get together with each other, I want you to drink from this cup, and I want you to remember the picture of my blood being poured out for you. And because my blood was poured out for you, you can lay your head down at night in peace, knowing you are made right with God because of what I did for you. And so we're going to do this together. It's called taking communion. And anybody who is called in the name of Jesus, you are welcome to participate. If you're a guest, if you're not sure what you believe about Jesus, one, you can receive him right now in this moment. You can recognize that what happened on the cross is for you. You're free to do that. But if you're not ready to do that, just let the tray pass you by. That's okay. Nobody's going to judge you here. There's a safe place to do that. But when the tray comes to you, if you're going to receive communion, take one of the crackers and remember the picture of what Jesus did on the cross for you and eat. And then take one of the cups, the cup of juice. Remember the picture of his blood being poured out for you so you could be made right with God. Drink the cup, put it right back in the tray, in the slot where you got it from, and then pass the tray to your neighbor next to you. After the trays have been passed, we're going to worship together for a few moments. I just want to say this is the moment for you to worship God any way that you want. If you want to stand up and sing, you are welcome to do so. If you want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon you in this moment, you are welcome to do that as well. You can pray to receive any gifts the Holy Spirit has for you. Our prayer teams at that point will be available up here to the side of the stage. They would love to pray with you as well. When we're done praying and worshiping together, I'll come up and close our time. So ushers, you may come as we receive communion and remember what Jesus did for us.